Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and on the road this morning with the Goldsteins. Yes, indeed. Just keep your eyes on the road and off of the screen. Very good. Is daf kuf gimel. So let's just remember where we were up to, because we've had some fascinating differences in the approaches to makshirei mitzvah. So we had a general question about whether bechlal makshirei mitzvah are dochin Shabbos, so whether you could do an issur d'oraisa as an actual mitzvah. We had a further question about even if you hold makshirei mitzvah are dochin Shabbos, we had the sheet of the Rabbanan who say that we agree that in theory makshirei mitzvah are dochin Shabbos. However, not if it would have been possible to do it mi'ba'od yom. So this was now a completely new approach. Then we also had yesterday an additional problem of, in the event that makshirei mitzvah are dochin Shabbos, then why in the world would we have made, and we're talking about in a case where a string broke, so why in the world would we have made this nonsensical takona to, instead of simply pulling up the string from a peg on your kinor and now tying it up from to the top or from the top down to the bottom, and instead to tie it? I mean, what good is it going to be if you tie it? And then even to make that distinction that we made about whether it breaks in the middle, in which case you can't use a bow, but if it doesn't break in the middle, it's best to use a bow, because that way you're doing as little as possible. Sheesh, very, very bad way to fix a musical instrument. And look, either way, you're going to be over on a d'oraisa, because either you're going to be over on makib patish, if you fix it from the bottom, or you're going to be over on kshira. So you might as well do it right. No, I mean, this was the time in the Gemara. Afi einam, in the Mishnah, mashma tatako. So why in the world would we do that? So there we introduced a new thing, which is that even if you hold makshirei mitzvah derech masech Shabbos, in this case, there may be grounds to make certain that no one will make the mistake of thinking that you would be allowed to be building that instrument milechatchila. And therefore people might think that bechlal it isn't usher, because they know that there were other alternatives. Okay, so we make a gezera that people shouldn't do that in a case that it wasn't required for the mitzvah. But those were really completely different shitas. We're going to see later on today that we even have a shita that holds that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that makshir mitzvah are dochen maseches Shabbos, and sure seemed like he was extremely makel on this. You know, dig the coals, make the fire, bake the steel, build the knife. I mean, like, whoa. And yet, there's a shita today that insists that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to do our best to avoid any chilul Shabbos that would be possible. It's not a question of it's being hutra. Okay, so today we got up to the Halakha Mishnah on the top of, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right, we did. We got up to the Halakha Mishnah on Kuf Gimel, and we're right above the larger line. So the next thing that we're talking about, and we noted that the difference between Inyanim in the Beis HaMikdash and outside of the Beis HaMikdash are also questions that are very strangely, they relate back to the idea of this liminal space between Kodesh v'Chol was actually, if you recall, the paradigm for liminal spaces between a mavoi and a chatzar, a mavoi and a rishis harabim. Isn't that weird? So we sort of end the mesechet with the same kind of idea that we started it with, and we note the differences between Migdash and Medina, just as we did at the beginning. And so the next thing that we're interested in is the Halakha Mishnah. Chotchim ya'belet b'migdash, avalo b'medina, ve'im b'kli, kan ve'kan asur. So now we've got a problem. We have an animal that we need to bring as a korban, and it has a wart on it. And so the question is, can you remove that wart or not? So the Tanakhama says, and we'll see the question of whether this is going to be consistent with all of the shitas in the brisa that follows, but right now the Mishnah says, Stam, you could do this, but only if you do it with your hand, not if you do it with a kli, as we'll see. And you can only do it in the Beit HaMikdash, Avloba Medina, because this way, even though you're doing an actual act, which had you done it with an instrument, you would in fact have been over on an Isser D'Oraisa and have been Chayev. So now you are still doing that, but since you're doing it kila achri yad, so even though you're being over on a tolda of gozeis, removing something from an animal is a tolda of geziza, but you are not going to be over on the deoraisa because you're doing it in a strange way, removing it with your hand. But in bekli, if you're going to do it with a knife, so then it's an isdiraisa, and in that case, you would be not allowed to do it, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we've got to see why you're not allowed to do it in the Beis HaMikdash if it's needed. Ask the Gemara, how do we explain the difference between this Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim? Raminu. It says in Pesachim that when it comes to the Herkevo, Vahava'ato, Bichutz Tchum, V'chatichat Yabalto, Ein Dochin. There's three things that you cannot do when you're going to bring your Korban Pesach on Shabbos. And that is, you can't carry it to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring it from outside of the Tchum, and you cannot cut off a Yabelet. Now here, Rebbe Eliezer says, well, of course they do, because, again, this is Rebbe Eliezer l'shitato, that any kind of makshiri mitzvah dochres or Shabbos, even if I could have done it before Shabbos, and I certainly could have brought it from outside of the Tchum, and so on and so forth, nonetheless, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's not a problem, because I'm doing this for a need of a korban. And so, memela, it's docha. Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, we don't know who said what, but we do know that there are different ways of explaining the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita. And it's sort of obvious, isn't it? Because we had two elements that we need to actually take into consideration. Are we using a kli or are we using a hand? Well, I mean, we already raised that in our Mishnah. And the other issue would be, are we talking about a wart that is still actually alive, or is this basically detached just like a dead tree? It's nothing but dead skin. And that is the two possibilities. So one said that what we're talking about in both cases is a lacha. It's a yabelet that actually is still living. But there's no contradiction, because after all, the Mishnah over here said beferish, you could only do this biyad, and the Mishnah in Pesachim is clearly talking about using a kli. And the other one said, no, actually, both Mishnayos are talking about biyad, and the Mishnah in Pesachim is introducing a new variable, and the new variable is the question of whether the wart is alive or not. So if it's completely dry, it's no longer part of a actual living thing, and therefore I'm not going to be over on cutting it off. Masha Inkein, our Mishnah is because it looks like it in that case. And as Rashi pointed out, this would be going according to the Shita, that even though it's only an Isser Derabbanan, nonetheless, we wouldn't do it because there are some Isser Derabbanan that we made even in the Beis HaMikdash. So one second, I mean, why would there be machlokas about this? Do we have any question that these are two variables and that either Shita could use either variable in either Mishnah? I mean, why in the world? What are they arguing about? So, Lamandi Amar HaBiyad VaHaBakli. I mean, why couldn't he say that, no, actually, both of them are talking about Biyad, and the difference is whether it's Lacha or Yevesha, right? So, in Pesachim, we're talking about it's Osir. That's because it's Lacha. In Erevin, we'd be talking about words Yevesha. Omar Lach, I'm arguing about a fundamental issue. It's not that I'm choosing one over the other. I hold that he's wrong. And that if it were actually dry, then you'd be allowed to do it even with a knife. I feel a bit clear, it would have been mutter. And therefore, the Mishnah over here, which is saying you can't do it bikli, cannot be talking about where it was Yevesha. My time of why is that? Because it's not cutting. It's simply iparucha, iparcha. This is something that is going to powder and it just disintegrates under your hand. And therefore, it is not considered to be something special. It's an Isser Derabbanan, and I understand. But why would we treat it with this big chumrah and say you can't do it in the Beis HaMikdash? Of course you could. And what about according to the Mandi Yomar, who chose the other variable? And he said that one is talking about where it's lacha, one vayivasha. I mean, why would he have to make that difference? He could have taken a very simple approach, right? He could have said, look, our Mishnah says, b'ameh dvarim amurim biyad, not bekli. Okay, so if that's the case, then in Pesachim we're talking about bekli. No? I mean, isn't that simple? Amalacha, impossible. Because then it would be completely repetitious. Why would we need the Mishnah in Pesachim to tell me exactly what I already know in Erevin? in the Mishnah here, it actually says the difference between using your hand and using a kli. So if it says that difference, what would be the point of making another Mishnah to allow us to derive the difference? Hatznani bikli kan v'kan asur. So in order to be telling me something new, it must be introducing this new issue of lacha and yevesha. By the way, I just want to point out something that Rashi felt was important to point out, and that is a language issue. We call a wart over here yabelet. But in the Torah, and that means we're using the word yabelet as a noun. In the Torah, when we talk about yabelet, it comes in the same list as averet. Where over there, we're talking about an animal which is blind. A yabelet is an animal which has warts, and so on. So that the word here, Rashi points out, don't confuse it with the way that it's used in the Torah, where it's the definition of a type of animal, like a chigeret, averet, yabelet. Over here, we've taken that word and we've turned it into a noun for purposes of identification here. Okay, so now let's go back to the first shot. That is a point, isn't it? I mean, if Lamaisa the Mishnayos are just going to be repetitious, so how it did whoever, we don't know who said what, so we have to refer to him as V'idak, but I mean, how does he explain why we would say the same Mishnah twice if it actually says it here? The reason that it says it over there is because for the first time we introduce over there Reb Eliezer, right? Over here, We didn't say anything. We just made a Stam Mishnah. So it's necessary for me to know that, no, not everybody agrees with this, and that Rebbe Eliezer is Matir Machshirei Mitzvah. He would be Matir in the Beis HaMikdash as well, even with a Kli, and even if it's just Kachim and not in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And might there be, what about the Idach? What about the other Mandi Omar, whoever he is, who holds that we're talking about taking off with your hand, he has got actually a very strong reason for saying that. There were three things listed. We listed Herkevo. Are you chayev if you carry a live animal from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid? No. Because when you carry something that's alive, remember HaChai Nosei Et Atzmo. And therefore, even though it's Osim in Rabbanan, but I can't do it. If you're bringing it havato michutz l'tchum, I mean, almost all the shittas except for Rabbi Akiva that we've heard so far, hold that havato michutz l'tchum is a derabbanan. So now you're telling me that we're going to switch to a kli and say now we're talking about a deraisa? That doesn't make sense. I mean, if the Mishnah is listing the issues that are going to be problematic, then why would we suddenly mix something that is deraisa? We're talking about a deraisa. We were saying even these derabbanans aren't deraisa. So why throw in something like that? That's why I said that we must be talking about removing that yabelet in a way that's only derabbanan. And that's why I said it's got to be referring to biyad. No? Or it's got to be referring to the case where there wouldn't be an issur. So the way I saw it, the only issue is that it's on the hand because there is no way to do it the other way. V'idach. So how does he explain the fact that it's weird to introduce the idea we're not going to be docha with these two derabbanans. Oh, and we also won't be docha the deraisa. Obviously. So how does he explain throwing in a deraisa in the middle of a list of derabbanans? He could say very simple. The Mishnah over here is not going according to Rabbi Nosson, who holds that achai no se et atzma. So we're talking about over here. This Tana apparently is not like Rabbi Nasa de Amrachai Nosiat Atzmo, and therefore the carrying would be a deraisa. And the Tana of the Mishnah is going Alibi to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Tchum is deraisa. So he's got three things that are deraisa. Very simple. The carrying is deraisa, the Tchum is deraisa, and we're talking about removal with the Kli, which is deraisa. There you go. Matzav Rabbi Yosef. Now, the problem is like this. You're saying that one of these Mandi Amrim Taina, that the Mishnah in Psachim would be talking about taking off a real living yabelet and taking it off bikli, right? Matzav Rabbi Yosef. Omar Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, as it explains over there in the continuation, I want to prove to you that you can definitely be Mechal Shabbos by carrying it, be Mechal Shabbos by bringing it Mechutz Tchum, be Mechal Shabbos by taking off the Yabelet. And here is my argument. Isn't it a Kal V'chomer? I mean, if Shechita is a Melacha, and nonetheless it's Docha Shabbos, Elu shemishum shvus enodin shiyitchus haShabbos. Now, gentlemen, I was ridiculous. That means that the Mishnah itself contains the clear statement that these three things are only usher mitzvah upon it. So are you telling me the Tana of the Mishnah is referring to carrying, which is the araisa, bringing chutzotchum, which is the araisa, yabelet with a knife, which is and it's a lacha, which is the araisa? Rabbi Eliezer says beferish in that Mishnah, and he's obviously telling them the case that they believe they're talking about. No, I mean that was a little bit ridiculous to discuss it in this fashion. How could you say such a thing if you're allowing, as obviously the Torah is b'chayiv you to bring the carbon? How are you going to bring the carbon? You got to shech the carbon, which is an issur d'oraisa. So now you're going to tell me, but I'm not going to bring the carbon if I have to do an issur d'rabbanan? Sounds to me that's nutty, Tainas Reb Eliezer. Anyway, but as Reb Yosef points out, I mean, that sort of conclusively shuts the door on this nonsense about claiming that the three cases in the Mishnah were cases d'rabbanan. And therefore, it can't be talking about the chaticha of a yabelet with a knife, and it is a living yabelet. I'm sorry, overs. El Amar of Yosef, the only way to possibly learn this, if you take into consideration of the Mishnah itself, is that both of the Mishnayos are talking about using your hand, and what you're forgetting is a very, very important issue. This din, that we're not gozer shvus in the Migdash, do you think that means anything that has to do with karbonas? No siree, baby. It means in the Migdash, exactly what it said. So what are you talking about? Bringing your Korban Pesach, carrying it, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. Bringing it from Rosh Hashanah, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. Cutting the Yabelet, you do this in the Beis HaMikdash. This is all outside of the Migdash. Therefore, I say that the things that have to do, even though they have to do with bringing a Korban, they're only mutter in the actual Beis HaMikdash. But even though you're doing something that is necessary for Akrovas HaKarban, which is called Shvus the Migdash, it's something that is Kodesh, I don't care. If you're not standing in the Beis HaMikdash, then you can't do it. B'midina lo hitiru. Like, where'd you get off by making a halacha that had to do with the makom where you are? You all of a sudden made it nogea, not where you are, but what you're doing. There's no such thing. So Abaye was saying over this when he's, wow, this like really makes a lot of sense. And Rav Safra was there and he said, no, this is not true based on the sugya that we just had over here in Erevin. And it says here that if you were actually reading the Sefer Torah and you're on an askufa and the Sefer Torah rolls out of your hand so that you're holding one end and it lands in the Rosh Hashanah, so you're allowed to be gololo etzlo. Now, you would never be allowed to be gololo etzlo. Let's say if it was a scroll of Middle Earth, right? You wouldn't be allowed to be gololo etzlo. So, well, if some people would hold, maybe that's Kodesh. All right, let's say Dune, you know. So you wouldn't be allowed to be gololo etzlo because even though it's only a drabonan, we're not going to allow you to be gololo etzlo. So why would we say over here, lechatchila, you can be gololo etzlo? Obviously, because we're dealing with Kedusha, right? Now, he's making the assumption that we're calling anything Kedusha a shvus of the Migdash, which is itself a sort of a leap, you must admit. But okay, so halacha. In this case, we're talking about an issur d'rabbanan, a shvus, and it's a shvus that has to do with the Migdash, meaning has to do with the chefetz of Kedusha, which is the Sefer Torah. And we did not make a gezerah, even though we are obviously not in the Beis HaMikdash, and there's the gezerah that we knew we had to make over here. The gezerah was Dilmanaf Avati Le'etuye. That's the standing gezerah whenever you're in a position where you may end up carrying from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh HaYachid. So apparently we do not make gezerahs, even where we're talking about something that's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because it has to do with Divrei Kedusha. What in the world are you talking about, says the Gemara. The case over, you don't remember the whole discussion. Gosh, we just had this on Tzadik Zion. We explained over there and we proved it's got to be talking about an askufa Carmelite, right? It was a Carmelite that had a Rosh Hasharabim that was overt lefaneha. So over there, there's not even, if you were talking about a Rosh Hasharabim into Rosh HaYochid, I understand. But over here, even if it would fall into the Rosh Hasharabim and you'd bring it back, you still wouldn't be over on an Isra. So in this case, if Agudo be Ado, The point that was being made over there is there's not even an Isser Shvus. Even if the whole thing had fallen out into the Rishus Harabim, you could bring it back onto the Askufa, because the Askufa is a Carmelis, you wouldn't be over on anything. So we're not going to make a Darabonan on a Darabonan to make a Gzer on a Gzer of the Carmelis. What does that have to do? We don't have any proof from there that we're going to be Matir and Isser Darabonan, Litzorech, something that is Kodesh, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, says Rav Safra, fine. So you don't like that raya? I'll bring you another raya. How about the raya from back in Masechet Shabbat, where it says over there, Mishal Shalina ta Pesach letanur im chashecha, you're allowed to put your carbon Pesach into the oven, even though it's going to be roasting on Shabbos, when Pesach comes out, Pesach night is Shabbos, which you're certainly not allowed to do. Initially, you can only put it in if there's no chash of chote b'gecholim. So apparently, even though you're cooking it in your home, you're not cooking it in the Beis HaMikdash. So halacha de shvus de migdash ba medina. So you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You're in Yerushalayim. And we do not make the standard gezera of Shema Yachta b'gecholim. Now, why don't we do that? Ha-ha! Ishtik, ooh. That got him right in the belly. Oh, my gosh. He didn't have what to say. So then when he came back to Rav Yosef and he said, you know, I thought you said such a great thing about the difference between being in the Beit HaMikdash and not being in the Beit HaMikdash. And then they came at me and this is what Rav Safra told me and I didn't know what to tell him. I said, what do you mean you don't know what to tell him? Why didn't you tell him the obvious answer? That there's a unique situation when it comes to dealing with Akravas Pesach. And that is a rule that we've seen in many places, and that is that b'nei chavura zrizinin, that as long as we're dealing with bringing the carbon, anybody that's involved in that process is very hypersensitive to anything that's going on, and because of that would certainly not come to chatiyas gecholim. Well, we use that heter for a lot of things, that there's reason. So why don't you just tell them that? Everybody knows that. So Abaya, actually, he thought, that, yes, Kohanim Zrizim, I know about that. But, I mean, the Shmoes that I see around here at the Seder Shel Pesach, they don't strike me as the kind of people that are going to be B'nai Chabura Zrizim, and if they could have been bringing a carbon Pesach, brand, I wouldn't get near it. Anyway, so he didn't think that it was appropriate to say that. Rava says, listen, it's very simple. We're all making a mistake. Rebbe Eliezer does not hold that there's this blanket heter to do anything you want for Makshiri Mitzvah. That's your mistake. Because even Rebbe Eliezer, who's Matir, Makshiri Mitzvah, that could have been done before Shabbos, and argues even on the next sheet down, which is the Rabbanan who agree with him, and yet they say, we agree it can be do Makshiri, but not if you could have done it before Shabbos. Even Rebbe Eliezer, for all of his kulas, he's made Rebbe Eliezer, Dermah Makshiri Mitzvah, Deuchnes Shabbos. I hold that he's made that whatever you could possibly do in order to avoid an Issa D'Oraisa, and therefore you should do it in a strange way, Kila Achar Yad or whatever is possible, you need to do it with a Shinui. And because of that, the Mishnah, it says over here that you cannot take it off with your knife is perfectly okay, even according to Rebbe Eliezer. It's not true that this was going Alibi D'Rabbanan. Now, if that's true, then everything follows very simply. The Mishnah in Erevin was going Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, and Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, indeed, we are going to be makpid on making a shinui. And Masha Inkain, the other Mishnah, the Mishnah in Psachim, would be going according to those who hold it. You can't be Deicha. So I didn't see what the problem is. It could be going according to someone else. I mean, we had a lot of other possibilities. Where does Rava get this from? Well, Gawi never heard such a thing, that according to Rebbe Eliezer, you're supposed to be careful not to do the chil in a way that would be a deraisa. What do you mean, says Rava? It's obvious. Everybody knows the braisa. Say a Kohen has a wart, and therefore he's not going to be able to be oved in the Beis HaMikdash. So he can get rid of that wart on Shabbos, but he's got to do it in a way that is not going to cause Chilul Shabbos D'Oraisa. And what does he do? He gets his friend to bite it off. He must be a very good friend. Anyway, so So maybe he's a vampire. But in any event, that way there would be a shinui, because it's certainly not a norm to bite off a wart, and it's certainly not a norm to have somebody do it. Now, I mean, the question is like this. You're telling me he can only use teeth. He can't use a knife, right, or a scalpel. And he can only get somebody else to do it. He can't do it himself. Now, tell me who is the Mandi Omar that is going to say that, okay? I mean, if you're going to tell me that it's the Rabbona, and the Rabbona, the Rabbona who hold that Makshir Mitzvah are not Doicha, any Issa D'Oraisa, and the case over here is that we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, and so the Braisa is saying, you need to be careful, according to the Rabbanan, which is consistent with the Rabbanan, that you could have been over on an Isser de Rabbanan, even though you might have been able to get to a doctor before Shabbos and get rid of this wart properly, that you'd still be allowed to do that. Is that who you believe is the author of this? But because, I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. I'll tell you why. Because Lamaisa, the Rabbanan hold that in general, if you bite off a wart yourself on Shabbos, it would be usur only as an issur d'rabbanan, because it's certainly shelo kedarko. So why in the world would you need to ask your friend to? Either way, you're only being over on a shvus, right? So therefore, the braisa that's saying, no, you got to get somebody else to do it, has got to be going according to Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer, indeed, he holds that bi'alma chayev chatas. And that if somebody was not in the Beis HaMikdash and he would be biting off a wart, he would be chayev. So he's coming to tell me that over here, since you would have thought, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's a makshirim mitzvah, and therefore, who cares? Kamash Malan, that even though makshirim mitzvah are dochen as a Shabbos, Rebbe Eliezer is insisting, get somebody else to do the isser. Because we don't want you to be over on a D'Oraisa, and which is basically what Rava is saying. Says the Gemara, I don't think that this proves that at all. I would say the Braisa is going according to the Rabbanan. And look, I mean, it depends where this wart is. I don't see why do you need to say that it's talking about that there was this double D'Rabbanan, you know, and that it's not good enough to bite off the wart. You got to get somebody to bite off the wart. It depends where the wart is. I'd like to see you bite off a wart on your back. So obviously what it's saying is it has to be done shelo kedarko, or if you can't do it yourself, then get somebody else to do it. So are you going to go bite something on your elbows? I mean, gosh, I don't know. It says if it got on your abdomen, then you could. I don't know who can reach their abdomen and bite it off, but okay, you're certainly more supple than I am. But in any event, there certainly are going to be places where you can't bite off a wart. Says Gemara, no, not true. If it were going according to the Rabbanan, so then why does he have to bite off the wart? I don't understand. Why can't he just remove it? And take it, we said if he takes it off by hand, we said before that you could take it off by hand. So why should it talk about taking it off with teeth, for heaven's sakes? And then it would be telling us a very important thing, because then it would now tifsha the Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer, obviously, Rabbi Elazar said, listen, you know what the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon is dafka, if he's removing it with yad. But if he's using it with knife, everybody would hold that he would be chayev. And if you do something with your own, to your own body, everybody agrees you would bring over on an issur d'oraisa. So if the braisa would have said it has to be done by hand, so then it would be teaching you a very important thing, that using a hand is a d'rabbanan, but using a knife is a d'oraisa, and then that would have been saying what Rebbe Lazar said, that even the Rabbanan agree that you're going to be over on a D'Oraisa if you use a knife. But if you're telling me it's teeth and only teeth, it implies that there's no difference on between using a knife and between using a hand. So I wouldn't be able to make the chiluk that Rebbe Lazar made. Says Gemara, come on. I mean, and halacha l'maisa, if it's true that the Braisa is basically going on libet Rebbe Eliezer is what you're saying. So then why can't Lamaisa, why didn't it say that you could take it off Biyad? Remember how we got here. We're trying to prove that according to Rava, the Braisa is simply telling us that Aliba de Reb Eliezer, who says Makshir and Mitzvah, Dochen Shabbos, under any all circumstances, nonetheless, you have to do your very best to avoid being over on a D'oraisa. So even according to that, it could have said that if somebody else is taking it off, then if he takes it off by hand, it would not be an Isser D'oraisa. So that's all you needed to say. You're going to have to explain to me, no matter what you do, why in the world we're talking about teeth and other people. I mean, so there's no answer that you have for that. Says the Gemara, no. I'm sorry, that's not fair. Because, look, if I'm right, that we're talking about Reb Eliezer, so then it would make sense that we said, we do not want you to use your hand because maybe you will come to use a knife. So, in other words, according to Reb Eliezer, we're allowed to do anything for Makshirei Mitzvah, but we want to make sure that whatever you can do to make it more kal, and it should only be a drabanan, or it shouldn't be something that could lead someone else to do an iser, I do. And that's exactly the point. If we're going according to this approach, then that means we are committed to finding the least chomor way of doing it. Now, certainly, since it's very common for people to remove these types of growths by hand, even though it would not be a chiyuv, we don't allow you to do it because it's more easily confused with a knife. And therefore, we're going to avoid this as well. Not because there would be actually an avera that was done if you did end up doing it that way, but because we need to make sure that nobody comes to do something wrong either. That's also something. But if you're going to tell me it's going according to Rabbanan, then I'm saying you have no explanation. No explanation at all. Because we never found anywhere in the Rabbanan that, well, let's do whatever can possibly be done and even make sure that nobody could come to make a mistake. Where would we get that? Either it's mutter or it's not. So therefore, tulo midi, there's nothing else that there can be discussed over here. I think I've proven it very, very well. We do not have any basis for reading this braisa like the Rabbanan. It only makes sense according to Reb Eliezer, and it's actually bringing out very beautifully what Rava said. Not only does Reb Eliezer say, do your best to avoid being over on an Isser D'oraisa, but Reb Eliezer says, do your best to avoid anything that could possibly lead to a type of kilkel in this issue, even if it just misleads other people into doing an avera. And now, a word from our Capitan. Wait a minute. Hello. What's going on over here? No, you're muted. What's this story over here? You getting old? Ah, now you turned off your... Ah. Oh my gosh. 15 different buttons he's got to push to unmute himself. Never mind, I'll unmute you. This is outrageous. No, it only allows me to ask you to unmute.
There we go. Oh. Am I allowed? Am I on?
All right. Yeah, you're on. But if you don't cut out this debilitating decline mentally, we're not going to be able to listen to you anymore. Hurry up.
Don't ask.
Great. Now we've got a Kohen who got himself a nice cut in his finger. So he's allowed to korech al gemi b'mikdash. Isn't it based on mikdash? Oh, no, man. Richie.
I can't mute. I give up something.
Okay, I got it. Okay. So what can he do? He can take like a piece of reed and he can wrap it around his finger. But he cannot do that if he's not in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what in the world is wrong with putting on a bandage? I mean, isn't that all he's doing? He's wrapping a reed around a sore on his finger? That should be fine. Must be that you learn from here that reeds have antiseptic qualities. And because of that, you would actually be over not putting a bandage is fine. But if you're actively treating the wound with an antiseptic, then, of course, we have our old problem of shechikat samamanim. We're afraid that you may actually grind and prepare a medication, which is an antiseptic. And that's basically what the Mishnah is giving you the information of. Im lahot sidam, so we can list this to the many, many plants that are considered to be medicinal plants and that have, some of them have antibiotic properties and some of them have, anticoagulant properties. I mean, as you know, there's lists of hundreds of plants, and the Mishnah is coming to tell me that a reed has antiseptic properties. Ve'im lo tzidam, if, however, in the Beis HaMikdash, you're tying it tightly to get blood out of the cut, then it's usher, because that is not necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. And it could also be, if it actually takes out blood, would you be over on Chovel? And why do you need to do that in order to do the Aveda? Amar Rav Yehuda ben Rav Chiya, now look, it's only Gemi. I want you to know, it's because it's allowing you to put on a reed. You could not put on, even at Tzilzol Cotton, like a garter belt or something, and put it around your finger. You couldn't do that, because that would be considered to be Yitur Begadim. Remember that a Kohen is only a kosher Kohen if he is wearing the Arba Bigdei Kuna, if he's a Kohen Hedyot, or the Shmona Bigdei Kuna, if he's not, if he's a Kohen Gadol. But if he adds anything, even a Tzilzol Katan, and he puts it around his wound, then his Aveda is going to be Pasul. So that certainly wouldn't be Mutter. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Put a garter belt around your finger. You don't wear clothes on your finger. So the only time that the Torah said that you're usher and to do the avodah with yitur begadim is only b'mekum begadim. It's only part of your body that normally you wear a begad. But if you don't wear a begad normally on your finger, shalom b'mekum begadim, so that's not called a yitur begadim. Says the Gemara, okay, fine, it's not called a yitur begadim. Isn't there a problem of chatzitza? I mean, doesn't it says v'kacha kohen every single time? And we learn out from there cannot be anything that's mafsik between your hand and the Aveda, or between the Big Day Kahuna and your flesh. So you can't put a bandage on. If it's not because Yitur Begadim, it would still be a problem of actually making a chatzitza and the Aveda, and that would pass the Aveda also. Well, it's talking about over here was on his left hand. He doesn't do Aveda with his left hand, right? Or maybe it's in his right hand, but it's in the back of his finger. How does the back of his finger ever come into contact with the Aveda? So fine, so maybe that's what it's talking about. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Hutainas, that lo omru yitur begadim, unless it's in a mokum begadim, is definitely arguing with Rava. Because the Omar Rava, Omar Rav Chista, you should know like this. If this piece of material is in a place where the Big Day Kuna are worn, it doesn't matter if it's material, it could be a thread. Even one thread that is chotzeitz. Now, please, gentlemen, there are a little bit of confusing terminologies in this sugya. Just to make it very clear so that we don't get confused, there are three separate halachas being discussed here. And unfortunately, the Gemara uses the same language for all three of them at different points. So please don't get confused. The din of yitur begadim is a pegam in bikihuno. Bikihuno, we learn out, means that you need to be wearing the correct big day kuna. If you either add or subtract a big day kuna, you're not a kohen. And it's as if a zar is doing the avoda. That's called yitur begadim, which is the equivalent of chisur begadim. Then we have a din of shelo yeh davar chotzeitz bein yado Levena kos, or vein yad, whatever it is that you're doing. So if you're pouring blood out from the kos, you can't have anything between your hand and that kos. Then there's another issue, which is also a chatzitza. This is a chatzitza between your actual body and the beged. There, any chatzitza at all is going to make a difference. So again, if you're talking about a yitur begadim, first of all, lechora, it has to be a beged. And a beged is usually 3x3 etzba'ot, as we learned back in Kalim, right? So that's not a thread. Then the question is this a normal place for a beged? then the question is, would this be in a place that is chotzeitz between your body that needs to be doing the avodah or not? Then the other question is this in a place that it actually comes between an existing beggar that you're wearing and your skin? Okay, now, keeping all of those things clear. So here what Rava says is, look, if it's between your begadim and your skin, then even if it's a thread, forget it, it's all usher. Uh-oh, Barnea is here, I got to take a drink. Phew, just in time. Okay, if it's not a place where begadim are worn, so then, now here we see why we said Rava disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. If it has a din of a beged, what gives it a din of a beged? It has to be 3x3 etzba'ot, right? That's the difference between the shear of a beged and just a thread. So if it would be shalosh al shalosh etzba'ot, so then they would be chotzitzot. Now look, the word chotzitzot over here is ridiculous, right? Because, I mean, chatzitza, he just said himself, even a thread is chotzitz. So obviously what we've done now is we've taken the word chotzitzot as just a general term, meaning it's chotzeitz between you and the avodah correctly. That's all it means. So from this point forward, chotzeitzot could be yitur begadim, chotzeitzot can mean a chitzitza between the beged and your skin, and chotzeitzot could mean, again, you have to keep the context clear, chotzeitzot could mean a chitzitza between the kohen's hand and the avodah that he's doing. So, fine. If that's clear, then you won't get confused. So shalosh or shalosh chotzitzot, meaning is yitur begadim. Pochot mi shalosh or shalosh einan chotzitzot, because it's not yitur begadim. So apparently Rava is now saying that, first of all, it doesn't matter. I don't care where it is. So forget about Reb Yochanan. And furthermore, I require a minimal shear for it to be a beged. So he's definitely against Rabbi Yochanan, because, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan said that if it's not in a place where you normally wear a beged, then it's not a problem. Rabbi Yochanan said that specifically on the finger, and Rava's responding to that. He's saying, no, absolutely not true. If it's in a place where you don't wear a beged, it's still going to be yitur begadim, except he calls it a chatzitza, if it's 3x3. So he definitely argues. Now, does he also argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Reb Chiya, who said that you can't put a garter belt around your finger to stop the bleeding? I mean, a garter belt is not 3x3, right? So would he be arguing on him also? Do we have to say that he's arguing on him too? No. Because it could be that even Rava is made that normally, if all you have is a piece of material 3x3. Yes, I agree, less than 3x3 is not kosher. But if you have formed a specific beged, such as a garter belt, out of something small, then that gives it chashivas, even if it's not 3x3. Maybe Rava is made to that. We have no reason to assume that he would even argue in Rabbi Yehuda ben Reb Chiya. Okay, now, the entire thing is also stated in a different way, which goes like this, Lishnach Rinam, really, that Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Chiya began by saying, only gemi, so far it's the same, only gemi is okay to put on your finger, but not this garter belt, right? Because over there, it would be chotzeitz. Now, this version again, don't be fooled by the change in chotzeitz. That's just because we've relaxed the requirements of the language over here. We're using chotzeitz as yitur begadim, even here. So aval tzilzo katan is a yitur begadim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there's no such thing as chatzitza, meaning yitur begadim, if it's less than 3x3. So according to this version, the thing that Rabbi Yochanan said was not about where it is, but about how big it is. So he was bedafka responding to the tzilzo katan in this version. And he furthermore says that the din of less than 3x3, that it should be, here we mean chatzitza as chatzitza, and not as yitur begadim. So we didn't say that there's a chatzitza concept, unless, if it's less than 3x3, unless it is where you're wearing a beged. If it's in a place where there are no begadim, so then here's the deal. If it's something that is 3x3 and it's not a chatzitza, it's a yitur begadim. I'm calling it a chatzitza, okay? If it's pachas mishalosh, since it's not in a place where you're wearing your clothes, so then it is not considered to be an extra beged. And that means that he's agreeing, hainu derava amrav chista. In this case, he's agreeing. So now, should we say that Rava, who said that if it's 3x3, Only then is it a problem, but is he arguing on that part of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, who says it could be even smaller, and therefore comes along the Gemara in this version with the same thing? Not necessarily, because a shiny tzilzul katan, which is considered to be chashuv. So Rabbi Yochanan holds, because that's what he was referring to in this version, right? Rabbi Yochanan says clearly that only if it's 3x3, not if it's a garter belt. So there, he definitely is going against Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya. Okay? We can't say it's different, a garter belt, because he's talking about the garter belt. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that you could actually take this garter belt and put it around your finger to stop the bleeding, isn't that a bigger chiddush than taking a reed? Why would the Mishnah limit itself to saying a Kohen is allowed to take a piece of reed from the ground and put it around his finger? I mean, why don't you tell me that you can take a garter belt? Which, that way you would be teaching that you should not think that there's a problem of Yisur Begadim if it's less than 3x3. The very fact that the Mishnah didn't take that example indicates that actually it would not be true. And you could not use a garter belt. So how does Rabbi Yochanan get off by saying that you could? No. The Mishnah is interested in teaching us something. And very often we find that the Mishnah comes to give over information in general. And the Mishnah wanted us to know that reeds are antiseptic. So Milta Gavurkeka Mashmalan, the Gemi Masei. There are those who try to understand the Gemara as meaning, and even though it's Masi, it's Mutter in the Migdash, which is not the meaning of the Gemara. Okay. Rabotai, this has been great. All right, so now we've got a lot of amazingly different, just tremendous sugyas over here about Makshiri Mitzvah in general, about the unbelievable. We never realized there were so many variations in how to understand whether Makshiri Mitzvah is a blanket heter, Makshiri Mitzvah is only where you couldn't do it before Shabbos, Makshiri Mitzvah, even if you could have done it before Shabbos, but it has to be done in a way that is going to absolutely minimize any kind of problems. These are like all new ideas. Makshiri Mitzvah, where we still would not be matir, even in the Migdash, doing things in a way that might cause other people to come to do Isurim at other times. That's fantastic. We also got into this wonderful sugya, which is, well, how do we define the idea of Migdash and Medina? Is it the name of a place? Or is it something that has to do with the type of thing that you're doing? You're being osek in Inyonim Shel Kedusha. And then we had a third issue, which is that sometimes we will, in fact, this is what Rabbi Yossi was saying, is that sometimes we will, in fact, make a difference, even if it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because you want to see what not to do. Take a look at Richie, okay? That's not called Zrizimim, right? But in this case, we're talking about non-Richie Zrizos, in which nobody would sit with their hands. Ah, there we go. They would be sitting with wide open eyes and going for that Korban Pesach like it's the most important thing they ever had to do. So that's called B'nei Chabura Zrizimim. And it turns out it's even better than a good workout. So we wish you good Shabbos, everyone. And hopefully we'll see you this afternoon. And thank you so much. Kultiv.
Rabbi, shouldn't the sugya be at the end of Shabbos? What is it doing at the end of Erevin?
Yes, you may have noticed, my dear, that the end of Erevin comes to actually integrate the two Mesechtas in just amazing ways. Like this, you could have gotten caught up and thought, okay, this is like a whole different thing. It's not a whole different thing. So now that we're coming to the end of the Sugya of Hotso, with all of its variations and types of Rishus and so on and so forth, I am going to deal with the accommodations that are made both for Gabi Shabbos and the Gabi Erevin, and Lagabe, even these liminal spaces, like the actual doorways, that's why we have all the Eskufa issues now. The door itself becomes for the first time a question. What's considered to be a door and what's considered to be a binyan as opposed to a door? And then I'm suggesting that there's even an inyan at the end of the Masechet, which is not really Shabbos-oriented per se, because it forces us to contemplate the different type of reshuyas between Kodesh v'chol, the idea of this new concept of Migdash and Medina, which has different dinim legabi Shabbos, just like the different type of Rishuyas have different dinim. And I pointed out earlier, I think you came maybe a little bit late, that the Masechet opens exactly with this. Because when we were looking for a model of how it is that we should take our Mavui and the Pesach of the Mavui, we actually use the Beis HaMikdash as that, the Pischa Shel Ulam, as that model. So the end of the Masechet is a really fascinating, like zooming back around to the beginning again and taking a look at how there really are differences in those two spaces, you know, between the Pesach of the Mishkan and or the Beis HaMikdash and the Medina. Okay, so maybe we'll discover more things that interrelate them. That's for sure. We're definitely getting more and more on our way into Pesach. Yes, indeed.